So I had a chance, every week I've got a chance to meet with Pastor Douglas, who preached here a couple weeks ago. And this Wednesday, I was talking him through, it's the first time he had heard about all that you guys have just heard about, all this change that's happening today. And so we had a long conversation about that. And at the end of it, he quoted the beginning of Psalms 127 to me. And he said, "Unless the Lord builds a house, its workers labor in vain." This idea that unless God's involved, no amount of hard work or skill can get you somewhere that matters. And when he said that to me and we prayed, and then he was talking about, you know, Jake, God is building Maywood. And he was excited about where God was taking us. And as I was praying with him and then praying after he had left, it reminded me, that verse reminded me of my time that I spent in Mexico. I was leading a housing ministry there. I was involved in building a lot of houses, and the houses would typically look like this. They were 12-foot by 16-foot little one-room structures that we were building for families that were typically living in shacks before that. Families of two people, eight people, big families sometimes. So first summer I went down there, I didn't know hardly anything about construction. I remember my first week there having to ask what rebar was, which is just like, I'm about as ignorant as you can get. Okay, so, and then they put me in charge of building houses. So, you know, like, I was there interning and getting taught by people. The last week of that first summer, we built what I would say was the best quality house that we built, at least that I was in charge of the whole summer. The foundation was actually smooth and actually level. This is at the actual foundation. We built it almost exactly 10 years ago from this very day, roughly at least. And the house was well put together and mudded well and smoothed well. The roof, while we were putting the roof on, I fell through the roof and got all beat up and scratched up, and my ribs were all bruised. And so it was a house where, like, we put a lot of good effort, as much skill as we had at least. Things came together really well. There was, you know, we got beat up, or I got beat up at least in the process. But we built this great house. And so I was excited for that house. Well, I came back the next summer to intern again, and it was really sad when that house was still empty. The family had never moved into it. They had actually left town. And then no family, the whole time I was living in Mexico, I lived there a couple years after that. Nobody ever used that house the way it was intended. No family ever lived in it. And so even though we'd put all this good effort into it and skill and pain into it, it didn't become what we had hoped it would become. Now, on the other side of the spectrum is a house that, according to our rules for who could qualify for houses, we should have never built this house for this family. And in fact, our staff got into a big issue over whether to build it or not. And at first, I was on the side of we shouldn't build it. But as we talked and prayed about it and read in some scripture about it, I had the final decision to make, and I made the decision that God is guiding us. We need to build this house. So if you've been here before for other sermons, I've talked about this family. This is the house that we built for them. This is Alfredo and Marie Guadalupe on the left and the right, and their family. And I've told the whole story in detail before, so I'm going to tell you very quickly today. We built them a house, and then my buddy and I down there, we started visiting them. And Marie Guadalupe was told by a doctor, she was weeping one day, told by a doctor that she was pregnant at the time, but that her baby was already dead and that she needed to have an abortion, and so that she was just crushed by that. And we prayed with her that day and continued to pray with her, and God did a miracle in Marie Guadalupe and in that family. And this is the baby that was born. This is now Amber. This is about 5 years later. She's there on the right. And it was this miraculous thing that changed the whole family. Alfredo and Marie Guadalupe went from being kind of positive about God in a vague way to believing in Jesus. And Amber is this miracle that happened because of that. And both houses were done with the best of intentions, but we all know in the room, which house do we want to be working on? You know, we don't want to work on the first house, even if it's put together better than the second house. We want to work on the house where God's working in that same area too. And God's doing miraculous things that we could never do. And our efforts are just opening doors for God to move. So how do we do that here at Maywood? How do we make sure we're building the house with God right there with us? So we've got these vision passages I'm going to talk to you about today. They're the heart, the core of what God's made us to be as a church. And so I'm going to read this first one to you, the first of the two. It's the Great Commission. Jesus tells this to all of his disciples right before going to heaven. This is his command to all Christians. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go." We're supposed to actively go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What he's getting at here is that Jesus is saying that all people are welcome to come and have new life in him. If you're here today and you don't have the life that you want to have, Jesus is saying, come, get immersed in the life of God. Next verse, he says, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to teach folks to obey everything that Jesus has commanded, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So what is a disciple? What are we trying to do as Maywood Baptist Church? We're trying to help people come to this new life in Jesus, this life where they do the things that Jesus taught. They act like Jesus. Now, I want to invite Mike Sanders to come up, and Mike's going to give us a testimony. So the other day, Mike is in a group called Flight Training. It's a group that I spend a lot of time with every week trying to develop folks that have got great potential, great gift sets that I see, trying to develop them. So Mike's in that group. He sent me this text 2 weeks ago, or about a week and a half ago. Said, and this, I'm going to read a text, so it's not quite proper English, but here you go. So, hello, Jake, it's Mike. So I was thinking about our vision passages. I guess I never realized just how important they are. I mean, I got to thinking, we read them every week, talking about it in our group, and so I guess my question is this. If as a member, now listen to this line, if as a member of Maywood Baptist Church, am I doing everything I can do to accomplish what the vision of the church is? I mean, that is a spectacular question. Okay, so he asks that. Am I doing everything I can do to accomplish this vision? And he says, in the way I understand it, basically, and in its simplest form, our vision passage says that we're to make disciples. So in your opinion, is there something more that I can do as a member of Maywood to make disciples for Jesus Christ? I guess flight training is preparation to fulfill the vision passage, but with the amount of love in my heart for Jesus, I just wonder if there's not something more I can do. I don't know. These are just random thoughts running through my head as I work today. So I don't. This is an awesome questions. I don't like to have big conversations through text, though. So I said, like, well, Mike, let's talk about it. You know, we're going to see each other. We're going to see each other soon. So we got into group that night, and we talked about it as a group. And making a disciple isn't about getting someone to say something for 5 seconds, okay? We know making a disciple is a process, but we also know it starts somewhere. So we prayed over Mike, and the four of us in the room, five of us in the room were praying, God, give Mike opportunities to be making disciples this week. Use him to start making disciples this week. So tell me the story about what happened shortly after that prayer when you're at the Social Security office.
Hello, hello. Okay.
Yeah. So, let's see, I think it was Tuesday morning. I had some business to take care of at the Social Security office, and I don't know if anybody in this room has been to the Social Security office when they open the door at 9 o'clock in the morning, but the line goes from the door around the building, and you have to wait in that line for some time if you don't get there early. So when I first got there and I seen the line, I was like, oh man, I hate waiting in lines. As I go stand in the line, I'm thinking about Jesus. That's what I do. I think about Jesus. So I'm thinking about Jesus, and I stop and I say a little prayer, and I ask God to please put somebody in front of me while I'm standing in this line to share my love with Jesus with them. And so I'm standing in line. I get it to the front, and I do my business like I'm there to do. I'm smiling. I'm always smiling. I don't think a lot of people realize what a smile will do for someone. And so this lady notices my smile, and she stops in her tracks, and she turns, and she smiles back at me, and she says, "How are you doing?" And I said, "I'm blessed and highly favored." And like, I knew at that moment, like, this is the lady that God has put in my path for me to disciple to minister to. And so she was obviously there for some reason. She's in her 60s, and 60s, maybe 70s, and she was at the Social Security office because she's broke, man, because she ain't got no money, and she just had open heart surgery. So she tells me she needs a ride, and I say, "Okay, you know, get in. You can come. I'll give you a ride." It's kind of funny, like, I don't generally give women rides, but she's like 70, so I think that I'm on the safe side. So she gets in the car, and she begins to tell me that she just had open heart surgery, and that's why she's there. And I said, "That's my in." So I broke my phone out, and I showed her the picture of my 7-month-old son that just had open heart surgery, and I began to tell her what Jesus done for my son and what Jesus has done in my life. And I asked her, "Can I pray with her?" And so I pulled the truck over, and I held her hand, and I began to pray with her. And she began to cry, and she began to weep. And it just, at that moment, it's like walking in God's will. It feels so good, because a lot of times I'll pray for God to open doors for me, and I'll just go through my day, and He'll open them all day long, and I just walk right past them, and I don't walk through them. But if I stop, instead of grumbling that I have to wait in this line forever around these people that I don't know, when I'm supposed to be at work making money, if I stop in that moment and I say, "God, what am I here for? What do you want me to do?" And I listen to the Holy Spirit, then I know when that door is open, and I walk right through it. And every time, I promise, it feels so good.
Awesome, Mike. Yeah. So we got a lot of good stuff to get to today. I'm going to jump through one of the stories Mike and I originally planned to share. Because Mike's also been working on somebody at work. And this last week opened up time to share with him in a much deeper way. They prayed together. The guy got emotional. I mean, it was a powerful moment. Someone that you're continuing to disciple long term, you know. So you can talk to Mike. He's got lots of great stories for you. We're going to jump to our second vision passage here, though. So this one comes from Ephesians chapter 4. And it says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." So Jesus gave us something. What's this grace that it's talking about? The next verse says, explains the grace. It says, "This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people." So Jesus gives gifts to every single person that follows him. That's where we get that idea that we talk about a lot. Okay, let's read on a little bit. It says, "What does he ascended mean except for that Jesus also descended to the lower earthly regions?" This means Jesus stooped down to get to us. No matter how low you feel today, Jesus is willing to come after you if you want to go with him. The next verse says, "He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe." This idea that Jesus not only came for us, but Jesus is the best, the biggest, the most that could ever be. Verse 11, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers." These are the leaders of the church. Why did Jesus put leaders in a church? This verse is going to tell us why. Their role is simply to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. This is where we get the terminology for coaches, is that the whole role of a leader here at Maywood is to equip other people, to build other people up to use their gifts. What's going to happen then when we've built people up? It says, "Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Jesus, who fills everything, he says, "If my church will follow me in this way, then you'll be my fullness." It's this gigantic thing. Something I know about Jesus and his fullness is it's way, way, way more than can flow through Jake Taylor. I'm not enough for it to all flow through me. None of the coaches are enough for it to flow through us. The idea here is that just like Jesus sent out his disciples, that we need to be equipping other people, that Jesus wants to flow through us as a group. Amen. So, flight training, I spent a lot of time with Mike and some other folks I'm pushing them always to use their gifts. And so I pushed you guys, I pushed you specifically this last week to do something. Tell us about what you did yesterday at Maple Street.
So, like Jake said, I'm in flight training on Wednesday nights, and we have what we call labs every 6 weeks or something like that. And our lab was this time it was I was supposed to raise at least $300 from people that do not go to Maywood, and I think the purpose of that was so we can get out of our comfort zone. But and then we can do anything we want that glorifies Jesus with that money. And so when I heard what our lab was, my first thought was, I'm going to give back to the Maple House. Because without the Maple House, I wouldn't be standing here. I wouldn't have this beautiful baby that's in the nursery. I wouldn't have the relationship that I have with Jesus. So some friends of mine and me, we put together some music, some live music, and we set up a small stage in the parking lot of the Maple House. And when the meeting was over, they came outside. I was able to, thanks to my donors, buy 25 large pizzas from Papa John's and buy a bunch of soda pop and water and have it all iced down and ready for them to eat and drink. And the purpose of that event was to just let the guys in that house know that there is a way out, and his name is Jesus. Real quick, Jake, real quick, I just want to make something perfectly clear. Like, it feels so good when Jake says, Mike, will you come up on this stage with me? And it feels good when you guys give an applause. But I say this with the deepest part of my heart. It's not about me. It's what Jesus can do through me. It's not about Jake. It's what about Jesus is doing through Jake. And it's not about us individually or it's just about this, what God's going to do and what he is doing in this church and through this church. It's so amazing. I could just like start crying right now because I see so many freaking miracles in this building. I just love Jesus, and without him, we wouldn't be here. And it's not about none of us. It's what he's doing through us. And what he's doing is amazing.
Oh, man. Yeah. Mike even left out some of the great stuff of that story. There's a guy during the middle of stuff happening says, yeah, I'll tell it for you. That's okay. He says, I want what you guys have. And so a guy prayed with him last night and is on his way to that new life. And other guys at Maple Street House are saying, we want to start coming to Maywood. Okay. And so that sort of change is starting to happen. Now, Mike's not perfect by any means. Okay. We didn't invite him on stage because he's perfect. But the reason we had Mike up here is those questions he's asking, he's trying to live that out. And it's a picture, it's a first little fruit of what we want to see much, much more of at Maywood. We want to see every single area of this church, there being people to say, Jesus has given me a gift, and I'm using it to bring other people to him. That's what we want to see over and over and over again. And we want to see the leaders at Maywood equipping people with those gifts. See, and that's their primary task, is to equip other people. You know, the passage I was talking about with Jesus and his disciples, that's John 14. Can you believe that Jesus says, hey guys, you're going to do greater things than I did? Like, Jesus says that to his disciples. Like, it's hard to imagine that, but that's the type of leader that Jesus was. He wanted to push the guys going after him to do greater things than he did. I know if I went to the Maple Street House after a meeting, no one would come up to me and say, like, Jake, I want to have what you have. You know, like, honestly, like, it wouldn't happen. But Mike and some friends do, and that's people's lives are changed. Before we do our time of response, I've got two more pictures to show you. They're really similar to what you've already seen. There's one major difference. So, same family, but the guy at the bottom is obviously different. He's the one that took the picture of me, and then I took this picture of him. That's Peluche. He was a friend of mine. And when I was reading in Ephesians, stuff was really clicking for me for the first time, is when I was down in Mexico. And I went down there to build houses. God started to show me the most important thing I was doing was what I was investing in Peluche. Because see, Peluche was also there 5 years later when we took this picture. Peluche's still there right now. Like, I talked to him on the phone last week. He's still meeting with his family. He went over and had dinner with them just like a week ago. Alfredo was struggling with alcoholism. Just about 6 months ago or so, Peluche walked them through that. I didn't walk them through it. I might have made the decision on to build the house or not, but Peluche is the one that told Marie Guadalupe, Jesus wants to heal your baby. And because God was working through Peluche, and like God healed that baby. Jesus was establishing Peluche to that family, not me. Because Jesus knew Peluche is the one I'm going to use to really minister to this family. There's no greater joy for me as a leader than to have moments like this. Like, I want to see Peluche, God use Peluche to change that family. I want to see God use Mike to change people that are in the same spot Mike used to be in. I want to see that over and over and over again. And that's what all of Maywood is about, is having that same story over and over and over again. We don't even have to keep it all locked in here, okay? It's okay that Mike did an event outside of Maywood, and lots of what God's going to do is going to be outside of these four walls. Our responsibility is to say, Jesus, you've given us a mission to make disciples, and you've given us a game plan, and we're going to follow it. We're going to work towards it, and we're going to go there. So today, as this is a change, but it's a piece of a bigger puzzle. And as we continue to roll out changes, I want you to be thinking about, am I on board with this vision? Do I want to go there? Do I want to be about making disciples, showing other people how to have new life in Jesus? Do I want to be about equipping other people to use their gifts?